are about to have a conversation with Ellen Siegel. Ellen Siegel has been an actress for many, many years, and she was in 1982, the Shatila Sabra refugee camps where Palestinians live when they were attacked by the Falange forces while the Israelis stood by and massacred thousands of people in those camps. And she's been volunteering for a long time. She even testified before the Kahan Commission on Inquiry and continues to work part-time as a medical committee of the American Near East Refugee Aid, and is coming to Baltimore from special events that have to do with all of that. And Ellen, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Nice introduction.
So, thank you. So tell me a bit about this event Saturday and the organization. Let's start there to give that overview, and I want to come back to some of the things. It's Beit Avtal Asumud. Is that right?
Beit Avtal Asumud is the Arabic name for it. Yes.
And tell me about that.
It's actually the easier National Institution of Social Care. It has been around. It has been in Lebanon since the Tel Azatar massacre, which was many years ago. I'd have to go look up the date exactly.
1982, I think.
No, Tel Azatar.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That was a while back. And it was started by someone named Qasem Aina, and he wanted to take care of all of the orphan children. He was lived in Tel Azatar refugee camp, and he wanted to take care of the children that were orphaned. There was a huge massacre that went on there between Lebanese forces and Palestinians, et cetera. And so he started this organization. It's now one of the largest non-governmental organizations in Lebanon. They are in most of the refugee camps in Lebanon. They have kindergartens. They have healthcare facilities, outpatient facilities. They have they provide wonderful cultural events for the children. They teach them dabki. They teach them songs, poetry, wonderful expressions. And they care for the elderly. They have activities for them. There's a constant stream, almost 24/7, to make sure that the refugees that live in these camps are well taken care of on all levels, that they're safe, that they have food, that they have shelter, that they have activities, that they become educated, that they get health care. And in a place like Lebanon, especially in the camps, this is very, very important.
So and so I'm going to take a step backwards here. So I mean, I think it's important for listeners to understand this, because we're talking about, of course, the camps where Palestinians for the most part live in Lebanon as refugees. But talk a bit about how you got involved in this decades ago. I mean, as a nurse, as a woman, as a Jewish woman.
As a Jewish woman in the late 60s, of course, I'm a nurse. I was trained in a Jewish hospital. I've worked in Jewish hospitals. I was bas mitzvahed. I remember the Holocaust very clearly. I remember the establishment of the State of Israel, so forth and so on. In the late 60s, when there was an anti-war movement, when there was anti-racism, feminist movement, we started to learn about the Palestinians, that the Palestinians were living in tents as refugees. And it was something that was very unclear to us because we didn't know much about it. I had never met a Palestinian. In 1972, I was traveling around Europe with a friend, and one of us needed medical care, and we had a choice where we would go, either the American Hospital in Paris or the American University Hospital of Beirut, whatever. And we decided, let's go to Lebanon. We don't know any Palestinians. We know nothing about this issue. And we went to Lebanon, we were fine, and we were staying there. We rented a little apartment, and we wanted to learn about the Palestinian issue. We were in a refugee camp the day of Munich, the Munich Olympic, disaster.
When the Israeli athletes were killed. Right.
And so we heard that there was bombing in the south of Lebanon, that the Israelis were bombing to... This is something that's been going and going, that they go after the people who create this problem. And so I called the Lebanese Red Cross, and I said I was a nurse and I would like to volunteer my services. And so I went with the Lebanese Red Cross to the south of Lebanon, and I saw this incredible disaster, that cars had been burned, homes had been burned, I don't know if the people in this village in the south of Lebanon were responsible for this massacre, but there was huge destruction. And I went to the camps and I talked to people in the camps, and they talked about their orange groves and their olive trees, and that they had lived in places, Haifa and Jaffa, and that they had been exiled, that they had to leave. And they still remembered these places, and they were living in these horrible camps now. So that's how I got interested. I then did some Palestinian solidarity work, some Jewish solidarity work through the years. In 1982, I believe, we were able to start a Jewish organization. Jews were becoming more aware of the fact that there was an issue regarding Palestinians, Israelis, and there was a lot of peace groups that were popping up in Israel, outside of Israel, in the U.S. So we started a peace group, Washington Area Jews for an Israeli-Palestinian Peace. At the same time, Rhonda Cooperstein in Baltimore started her Baltimore Area Jews for an Israeli-Palestinian Peace. We had activities. We had friendship dinners with Palestinians. We took out ads in the Jewish Week newspaper. We sponsored lectures. We hosted peace people that came from Israel. In June of 1982, there was an assassination attempt on the Israeli ambassador in London. And subsequently, Israel decided that it was going to root out the Palestinians from Lebanon. And it went in to Lebanon in June, and it bombed, it destroyed, it almost destroyed the entire West Beirut area. In West Beirut, in the camps, there was horrendous conditions. They would not allow food in, medicine, water. People were wounded. People were not able to get food, not able to get medicine. I went to a Palestinian organization, and I said, look, they knew me because I'm active. I would like to go be a nurse. And so I was sent to Lebanon as a nurse. And we went through Syria, and when we got to Syria, the PLO was actually evacuating. They were coming through in trucks and honking their horns and so forth. So we got into Lebanon. When we got to Lebanon, it was a group of nurses and doctors from many different countries. When we got there, the PLO had gone. Mainly what was left was young people, women, children. And we worked in the hospital. Then, in the beginning of September, there was there was an assassination attempt or assassination on Bashir Shamayel, who was the president-elect of Lebanon. And Israel at that point decided that it was going to help get rid of whatever was left in these camps. And so they allowed the Falange, the Lebanese forces, who are the avowed enemy of the Palestinian people, they surrounded the camps, and they allowed the Falange into the camps. Between September 16th and September 18th, something close to 1,000 people were massacred. But I was working in the hospital, and it was awful. It was anti-tank artillery. It was things being blown up. Windows were cracking. We didn't have medication for the patients. We had to use masks in order to keep them breathing. It was a really awful situation, and we all thought probably we were all going to die in there. At some point, everything got very quiet, and we were told to come down to the entrance to the hospital. When we came down, there were soldiers, and they had on their uniforms, I had taken a little bit of Arabic. They had Al-Quwat al-Lubnaniya, which is the Lebanese forces. And we were told to march through the camp, through the main street. As we marched, these were nurses and doctors, about maybe 25 of us. And we had on white lab coats. We were white. We had blonde hair. We had light skin. Many of them were from Finland and Sweden and Scandinavian countries. Palestinian tried to join us, and he was shot immediately. As we walked down the main street, we saw dead people lying on the sides of the street. We saw women and children that were being watched by the gunmen. And as we moved further down the camp, we saw that the soldiers got sloppier and sloppier and sloppier, and they looked crazed. Got to the end of the camp, and they put us along a bullet-ridden wall. It was a firing squad. An Israeli general from the Israeli Defense Force. They were outside of the camp. They were not inside. They were outside the camp, but they were in an apartment building overlooking the camp with binoculars. When they saw all these Westerners being lined up, they actually ran down. And I was told this by Zev Schiff, who's a famous Israeli writer, that they ran down and they stopped. They stopped it. So then we were left with the Phalange, and they took our passports and they marched us up a hill to a UN courtyard. They asked us why we're there. We came to help terrorists. We're from the Red Army. Just awful insults. And at this time, they were still driving around shooting Palestinians that were wandering around somehow. We were then taken over. We were then led over to the Israeli Defense Force, which was across the street. And it was Rosh Hashanah. It was the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And it was a Saturday morning. And there were Israeli soldiers that had that were praying. And one of them had a piece of honey cake. I've written about this because I was so moved by it. And he tried to offer us a piece of honey cake, and they didn't know I was Jewish. Anyway, at that point, after a little while, they drove us back into West Beirut, and I went to the American Embassy. But I heard enough and saw enough, and I know the history of the Holocaust very well. I've taken care of survivors. I know my history. And I know that I was taught that if you see something that is not right, if there is an atrocity that is happening that you can do something about, that you must speak up, you must not be silent. I heard there was a commission of inquiry that was going to happen in Jerusalem. And so I went to the hotel where all the Western press was, and I went to the New York Times, and I said, I want to testify. And I wrote out something like a 15-page longhand of everything that I saw and heard. I had it. I went to the American Embassy. I had it notarized, and I took it back to the New York Times man, who took it and got it to Jerusalem. And then I got a call from the International Red Cross telling me that I was to go to East Beirut, and I would be taken to Israel. And that's what happened. I went to East Beirut with two physicians, and we were driven across past all the kibbutzes with the beautiful flowers and swimming pools and people living peacefully. And we were driven to Jerusalem, and we testified before the Kahan Commission. They made light of it. To them, this was not, I was not credible. We were not credible. It doesn't matter. I did what I thought was correct. Since that time, I feel that I have a responsibility to the people in these camps, especially in Sabra and Shatila. And I go every single year for the commemoration. I do what I can to raise funds for them, to write about them, speak about them, keep your spirits up, not forget what happened there, to remember, to remember their history so that it's not forgotten. And I still to this day, and this is from 1982, when I go back, I see people that I knew in 1982. And it's very heartwarming, and even for my own psyche, that I'm allowed to remember this, of what happened, with people who lived through it. And so that's it. And so I'm this year, with the help of Rhonda and her suggestion, this wonderful man who owns this XOL art gallery in Baltimore has volunteered to have a little fundraiser. And what we're going to try and do is raise money for the people in these camps, mainly for the children, the kindergarten. I think it's $100 and some a year, and they have a wonderful kindergartens in all of the camps. and I'm going to bring a few pictures with me. And these kids, this is the only normal part of their lives, is to go to a kindergarten where they sing and they learn and they play and they have a healthy environment. And for elderly who are old and not in good shape and need to make sure they have food and shelter and clothes, and to help support them. And then they have other programs for children who have disabilities and for families who need counseling. It's a rough ride over there.
Mm-hmm.
These people live in terrible conditions. It's incredibly overcrowded. Go ahead.
It's fine. It's a very powerful story, and I had read about your almost being killed by being put up against a wall in a firing squad, and having lived through all that, and to continue to go back, to bear witness, make a statement, and do this kind of support, takes a lot.
But Mark, this has made me happy. This has made me feel that I've done something okay. It's in a way, it's a little bit selfish.
Selfish.
It meets my needs. It's something that I want to do. I have to do. Makes me feel good about myself. That they've brought joy in my life.
So it's very cool that XOL is doing this here in Baltimore. I think that's happening, and. It'll be tomorrow on June 25th at 4 to 8 p.m. the XOL Gallery, and you'll be there. You're bringing photos there.
I'm bringing a few photos. Yes.
Of the kids and what happens inside the camps.
A little bit, yeah. I have some pictures with me. Yes.
And so the money is all going to the kindergarten and goes to other work in the camps as well.
It's going to go to Beit Atfal of the Mood. If people would like to sponsor something, if they want to sponsor a child, they can say, I want to sponsor a child for $100-some a year, or I want to sponsor an elderly person. It's whatever they want to do.
Well, it
will go to Beit Atfal of the Mood.
I think it's wonderful you're bringing this to town. I think we cannot forget this history, nor the present that people are living through. And we're also going to be linking on our website here to socialcare.org, which is the Beit Atfal Asumad, or the National Institution of Social Care's website, with all the photos, what's happening in that camp with Palestinians and more. So we'll be doing all that. So I look forward to meeting you in person tomorrow night.
Well, me too, Mark.
And folks, I encourage you all to go. And there are other ways to support peace in this world, and this is clearly one of them that needs to happen. So thank you, Ellen Siegel, for all the work you've done over these years, and for this as well.
Thank you, Mark.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andrea Melton. Our interns are Calvin Perry and Morgan Barber. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. Podcast the Mark Steiner Show and share it with your friends. Visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. For your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.